Good morning, Tucson. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this 9 o'clock hour tipping point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, in-depth news and discussion and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're going to fast-track our way into the week here with a guest interview right off the top. District 4. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie's on the line momentarily to talk through with us the set of temporary health code regulations that the Pima County Board of Supervisors passed last week, last Wednesday, I believe. And then the Attorney General wrote a letter end of last week pushing back on that temporary set of regulations. I was scheduled to sit down with Supervisor Christie before either of those two things happened, and sometimes you just get lucky, and we did today, where there's a ton of breaking news to sit down and talk with the supervisor about. We'll get his thoughts. And then also the road to rebuild, the road to recovery. What does it look like to see that V shape that everybody's talking about, where we saw the economy tank? How do we see a rapid rise back up in the other direction while managing public health? And then I was shocked by the COVID-19 numbers I woke up to this morning. And depending on what your feeling is on the coronavirus, what you're seeing in the data, what party you hail from, and all those things seem to be interconnected these days, I think you'll be shocked too. And if you think you know what I'm going to say, you probably don't. So that's my tease. Hang out with us through the bottom of the hour. That's where we'll go after we talk right now with Supervisor Steve Christie. Supervisor, thanks for making some time this morning. How are you? Happy Monday.
Thank you very much. I'm doing great. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I happened to hear you interviewing another elected official, and you made some sort of a really generous invitation to elected officials to come on the show on a regular basis and discuss issues that are facing our local economy and our county and our business community. And I thought, you know, this is a perfect venue for me to be able to have that ability to talk about those issues on a regular basis. And I know Chairman Valadez is, I think you've got him notched in pretty well as a regular guest. I'd like to be notched in too as a regular guest. And it just happened to coincide with these issues with the restaurants and other things too. So I think this is a great start.
Supervisor Christie, thank you. And yes, that call to come on is out there, and I'm really glad that your team reached out. And now I have the right contacts for you, so we're set to go, Supervisor. But maybe you can help me make sure that I got my timeline straight. Right as the governor was starting to reopen the economy, the Pima County started a kind of a task force that was survey-based that wanted to hear from the public. Kind of what are some of the things that you want restaurants and retail to do as they reopen? Is it my understanding, is it correct that those survey responses became guidelines and then they became temporary health code regulations? Is that the trajectory that the county was on the last couple weeks?
Well, are you referring to the public comments about the 10,000 responses that they say they received as an effort to find public?
Yeah, there was like a 17-part survey.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was supposed to be used as a gathering of information to help formulate guidelines on this whole issue. So that was in addition to the task force that was created by Mr. Huckleberry on impacted businesses that were the focus of these proclamations. So with the task force and the surveys, they were designed together at that time to be information gathering opportunities and to get feedback from the community to see how the community would react to certain issues related to the reopening of businesses.
And then would it be correct to say that as the governor opened up restaurant and retail, the guidelines were pretty open-ended. There were a few things out there. Is it correct to to understand that the Board of Supervisors said that there's not enough clarity. Let's not only put some clarity down, but let's also put it into a regulation format in a temporary way until we're confident that the that this crisis is over. Is that kind of the pathway it worked itself down on?
Not quite. There was a call for an emergency meeting to discuss regulations potentially to be codified as part of the Department of Health's policy that allegedly were gleaned from these surveys and from the task force, but it wasn't. It did not really come from the Board of Supervisors. I had no prior knowledge that these what we always thought were going to be guidelines at this point were going to be automatically turned into regulations and into law and proclamations within 48 hours. No one did, particularly those members of that task force, and I'm going back to the Arizona Restaurant Association, then the Tucson Metro Chamber Advisory Council. They all had seats at the table of this task force, but when they were being interviewed and had the opportunity to meet, it was the feeling that those groups on the task force were there for input, for ideas, for giving guidance to the county on certain issues that would help the reopening of a number of businesses, particularly restaurants, open easier and give the community a safety feeling. But then all of a sudden, after the week before the opening of the proclamation of restaurants by the governor, there was a final meeting of the steering committee, and that was when Mr. Huckleberry announced that there was going to be a emergency meeting within 48 hours, and that they had taken from the surveys and the task force input a series of regulations, 17 of them. I think two of the 17 were suggestions, but a good firm 15 of them, and they were going to be put before the Board of Supervisors for consideration to be codified into regulations. That was not the understanding of the task force members and of the surveys. I think if the questions had been asked of the community in a different manner that would input the unintended consequences of certain procedures, both the outcomes would have been different. And certainly the emergency meeting that was called within 48 hours that the public had no ability to give input to, that the folks that had the most involved in this had no ability to give input to other than writing letters to the clerk or the board, I think the whole outcome would have been a lot different.
We're on the line with Pima County Supervisor from District 4, Steve Christie. Steve, there's kind of two pieces then from that when it hit your desk on the dais there. There's two things I want to get your thoughts on, at least the first before we go to break, and then maybe the Attorney General's response after the break. And then I want to get your thoughts on how do we pull our region out of this. But these include these guidelines that then were proposed as temporary health code regulations include things like 50% or lower occupancy in open facilities, minimum of 6 feet between tables, dine-in services, only be allowed if a party calls ahead. Temperature and wellness checks, frequent hand washing, server requirements, things like that. You and Supervisor Ali Miller were the two dissenting votes that ultimately passed 3-2. Those regulations passed 3-2. You were one of two dissenting votes. Why? What was your concern with that?
Well, first of all, here we have probably the most hardest hit industry through this whole pandemic. It's been devastating to the restaurants and food service industry. They are expected to lose somewhere between 25% and 30% of all of their businesses within the next few months as a result of their being shut down. Here they are the staples, the foundations of Pima County's economic base and something that we are known for worldwide with our restaurants and our food and our resorts. And the governor proclaims at this particular point last Monday, a week ago today, that the in-service dining is lifted and there are state regulations in place to allow this opening to occur, that the metrics that he has been using all along indicate that now is a proper and good time to open these businesses. And then, within less than 48 hours, Pima County comes up with these 17 regulations that are clearly over and above what the governor is recommending. And it's not only has the restaurant industry gone through such devastation, they finally get the opportunity to go back into business and open up, and Pima County slaps them with all of these punitive and onerous regulations, particularly the one that really infuriated me, was in addition to the very difficult mandates for restaurants to try to obtain in order to comply with the regulations. If they didn't obtain them, and if they didn't comply, they would be fined. They need to understand, the county needs to understand, the proclamations to shut them down have been the fine. That is the fine. So here is the opportunity for the restaurant community to get back in business, to open up again, and the first thing Pima County does is slap them with these 17 highly draconian regulations, and the restaurant industry didn't even have an opportunity to operate under the state regulations, and that would have been a perfect opportunity to monitor, see, gather information, and make recommendations over at least a week's period. The health department could have made visits to these restaurants to see how they were operating under the state's guidelines, but instead they didn't even take that opportunity. They generated 17 regulations with fines, and then that was welcome back to business, restaurants. Pima County's open.
We are on the air with Steve Christie. He is supervisor for District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor, we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk with you about the second piece that has happened since you and I set up a time to chat here on the air, and that is Senators Vince Leach, Representative Mark Fincham, Representative Brett Roberts from Legislative District 11 submitted a request to Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich calling for his investigation of this proclamation. And I want to talk with you about where that's at. Pima County is required to respond tomorrow. I want to get your sense on where that is, and then we'll also talk some economic recovery. Tucson, that's where we're at right now. We're going to come back after a short break and talk what's next as this unfolds. Don't go anywhere.
We have lots of ideas and even some solutions. 1030, The Voice.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
For the last few weeks, the president, who you know I support, I've disposed my dog in the fight. I have also told my audience I will feel free to say when I disagree with him. But the president, it appears, has been in a bit of a quandary. On one hand, he says we're concerned about having more cases in the country. On the other hand, the president today says it's time for this to end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1030 The Voice.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Tucson, welcome on back. We are on the line with Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We're discussing some of the latest where at least 15 drafted guidelines for restaurants, according to Steve Christie, were drafted as a set of temporary health code, or passed rather as a set of temporary health code regulations for restaurants that we discussed was not the spirit of things, according to Mr. Christie's understanding last week. And after it was passed on Wednesday, some state representatives and state senators requested Attorney General Brnovich to look into that as a breach of ARS. Steve Christie, if you can jump in there and let us know kind of what happened on Friday. The Board of Supervisors, the Pima County at least, is required to respond to the Attorney General tomorrow, is our understanding. Is that correct?
That's correct. They have till 5 p.m., yes.
And what is the Attorney General wanting to hear from the county?
Well, the Attorney General basically has been charged with the issue that the proclamations and ordinances that the county passed, the 15 or 17 of them, the legislature representatives have determined, and I questioned the county attorney during the Wednesday emergency meeting about this very issue. I said to Regina Nason, who represents the county attorney, if we were in violation of any revised statutes that would conflict with the state constitution or the governor's executive orders and proclamation, as far as the county instituting these codified requirements on restaurants, where it clearly states that in revised statute 26307, no county, city, or town may make or issue any order, rule, or regulation that conflicts with or is in addition to the policy, directives, or intent of this executive order. And my feeling was, particularly when it came to the fines issue, this was in direct violation of these directives and the executive order. And I asked the county attorney her opinion of that, and she said that at that point she had not had the opportunity to review those issues. So that segue, the representatives that have instituted the Attorney General's investigation clearly feel, and they agree, as do I, that these regulations that the county has imposed are in conflict with state constitutional statutes and with the governor's executive orders. And that is something that I asked about, and it was kind of pushed under the table. So these representatives asked the Attorney General to make an investigation, and there's basically three things that he's looking for. If the proclamation does not violate any provisions of state law, the Attorney General will take no further action.
Okay.
If the proclamation violates a provision of state law, the Attorney General will file an action in the Arizona Supreme Court. if the proclamation violates a provision of state law or the Arizona Constitution, the office will notify the county in writing and state that the county has 30 days to resolve the identified violations. If the Attorney General determines that the county failed to resolve the violation within 30 days, the Attorney General will notify the state treasurer, who shall withhold and redistribute from the county state shared monies as provided by statute. And that is something we will be discussing in executive session on tomorrow morning's meeting. But to answer your question, what is the Attorney General looking for? I would imagine that they're looking for a justification from the county as to why they are exceeding requirements set forth by the governor and the Constitution, and to give an argument why these proclamations should stay in place. I think we are in violation. I believe we're going to be opening ourselves up to lawsuits, if not a withholding of state shared monies. I think it's very clear to me, but I think the Attorney General says, okay, Pima County, we feel, according to the state legislators who have instigated this investigation, that you're in violation of state statutes. Tell the Attorney General why you are not.
Got it. And that's due by 5 o'clock tomorrow, Tuesday. And the board will meet tomorrow morning. Ahead of that is our understanding from you. We have about a minute and a half, Supervisor Christie. I think one of the things I do know that both the public and private sector here have struggled with is that the governor's guidelines are pretty open-ended and are not super specific. Should these guidelines have to change after tomorrow, any brief, about a minute and a half, any ideas of how to make sure that that our restaurants are continuing to create consumer confidence as we start to reopen?
Well, my belief is that the regulations that were passed last week by the county imposed upon the restaurants should be repealed, removed, and nullified. If there are areas of lack of clarity with the governor's regulations, then I think it's incumbent for the county as well as the industries to work together with the governor to try to make some type of understanding exactly, specifically what the governor and the state health department are trying to achieve here. But it is not the county's responsibility to make its own set of rules. The rules are already are in place and mandated by the governor. And again, if there are issues with what the governor is saying, let's talk to the governor. Mm-hmm. He's got lots of folks that are willing to talk, and that's the source from where we can derive our clarity, not from these regulations from Pima County.
Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. That's as great as a place as any to end our conversation. Thank you so much for coming on and for sharing, and we'll be watching tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be back, Tucson. The shocking numbers I woke up to about COVID-19 this morning. Don't go away.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
How would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city's developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
whyiloveWhereILive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and John Munger, plus University of Arizona climate scientist Dr. Zach Guido. What kind of a monsoon awaits us this year? Buckmaster on 1030 Tucson's Voice. For trusted news talk anywhere in the world live listening, yes, we are always on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm your host, Zach Yenser, on Tipping Point here. Drive time every day on 1030 The Voice, 9 to 10 a.m. In-depth news and talk and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I want to thank Supervisor Steve Christie for his time. He spent the first half hour of the show with us, and I didn't know this, but I want to appreciate him for it. He started out the show, if you didn't hear it, by saying, Zach, I heard you a couple weeks ago put out a call for elected leadership to come on this program as consistently as they want to talk to us as Tucsonans and Arizonans in real time about the issues that we are dealing with. It was at that point he reached out and we set something up. And again, I just want to be clear, there was no reason on my part not to. It just, the connection hadn't been made yet, and he initiated the conversation. I just want to appreciate that. I've publicly appreciated Ramon Valadez for that. I've publicly appreciated Michael Ortega, although he's not elected. He's appointed by electeds, the city manager of Tucson. I have been pretty discouraged, I'll be open about it, discouraged with just the lack of communication and connection with Tucsonans and Arizonans by elected leaders during COVID-19. And I feel comfortable saying that because it's on both sides of the aisle. There's no veiled shot at anybody in particular. This is everybody. And folks that in the past have been very engaging, and when we needed to hear the most from the most people possible, we got ghosted as a community. Not about this show or media, any of that stuff. As a community, I think if there was 10 of you lined up, I bet you 9 of you would say, boy, we'd sure like to have gotten walked through our local situation more on a frequent and daily basis. Instead, it was weeks on end with nothing. And then, you know, small announcements here and there. It just was very herky-jerky when it came to communication. So not to get into that, all that to say, I really appreciate Supervisor Steve Christie reaching out and saying, let's get on the program and talk. And I will reiterate that invitation. RDLI, if you're in elected office and you want to talk through what you're seeing and the road to rebuild from COVID-19, you have a place on the show, give me a call and we'll set it up. So thank you, Supervisor Christie. I teased this at the beginning of the hour. And I mean it in the least shock jock way, right? I kind of teased, I said, I woke up to some astounding numbers, some COVID-19 numbers that actually have been kind of hanging out for a while. These aren't necessarily, you know, numbers that came in from the weekend, whoa, shocker, but numbers that I hadn't quite put together yet. And I was preparing for this show and I put some COVID-19 numbers together and went, whoa, A, I hadn't seen that before, and B, this stuff isn't getting reported. And by the way, I just want to put out there, the numbers I'm going to tell you are from the Arizona Department of Health Services, azdhs.gov. These are numbers that are numbers in the Daily Star written in a way that are just number delivery, right? There's no spin right or left. These are numbers the Daily Star puts out there as a part of a daily COVID report. And these are numbers that are coming just straight from AZDHS and straight from local some local reporting. No spin. I'm not reading the Times. I'm not reading the Wall Street Journal. I'm not reading, you know, publications that want to have an angle on this. I'm just looking at the numbers. And the numbers are always changing. And if these numbers change tomorrow, I'll tell you they change tomorrow. But these are numbers that, like, were just really amazing to me. And first of all, let me run through them in way of a COVID-19 update. And then in our final segment, I'll tell you what I think we need to do with these numbers. But here are the numbers. We have had throughout up to today 157 Pima County deaths, right? This is from the time when we knew we had COVID in our community. We shut things down. We started counting deaths. 157 Pima County deaths reported, right? And some will say, hey, tests are being bloated. And some will say deaths are being underreported. 157 is what we have. As data is filling in, right? And it's filling in as I speak. So when I tell you tomorrow it might change tomorrow, and I'll tell you tomorrow if it does, I really mean that, because the numbers are changing. We came off of a blitz weekend. Here we are, a testing blitz weekend. There's 157 Pima County deaths reported. We are starting to see, as data is filling in, a drop in deaths. And so one of the things I'm going to be doing personally, and probably sharing it on the air as well, is looking at deaths. Because the fact of the matter is, as a state, I think we've underperformed and frankly failed in getting our testing up to snuff, up to where it needs to be. There's a part B to that, and I'll tell you that in a second. We've had this much time to figure out how to get tests on the ground. We're not seeing enough tests in Pima County, and part of that is due to the fact that there's basically a supply chain, if you will, of testing pieces that go into making the test, administering the test, studying the test. And to me, we've had two, almost 3 months to figure that out, how to do that well, and we're still at that point. However, and this still makes my point today, states around the union, including ours, including good old Pima County, which I know is not a state, but I mean, states are seeing this problem. We're seeing it in Arizona, in Pima County, is states are actually now overproducing tests, meaning there are more tests being produced than people that are taking them. And we see that in Pima County. In Pima County, there's been multiple blitz weekends. I think we're only seeing 1,300 tests. And I will check that number over the break. But I think 1,300 tests is from the two weekends combined. In fact, I'm almost certain of that because I remember Administrator Chuck Huckleberry at the county saying we had a 600 test weekend. That's awful. And it is. But around the country, we're seeing people not come in and take tests. Tests that are now available. P.S. El Rio just got a grant where people, even if they don't have symptoms, can come in and get tested. So that's a piece of this, by the way. This is in parentheses. I just wanted to jump to that real quick. Up to last weekend, you had to have symptoms or you wouldn't get tested. Now you can go, I'm not sure, maybe I do, maybe I don't, or maybe I'm asymptomatic, I want to go get tested. El Rio now has a grant where it's funding them to be able to administer tests to people who may be asymptomatic and just want to get tested. Up until a week or so ago, that was not the case. So that's an interesting note. So all that to say, whether it's the fact that we're not producing enough tests, whether it's the fact that we are and more people aren't taking them, which we know is also true, as there is a lack of testing, however you make of it, I think tracking deaths, as morbid as it sounds, is a little bit of a better bet right now to figure out what is the result of this, and are we seeing a spike as we open up restaurants? I can tell you the data I'm looking at, again, azdhs.gov. I'm not looking at spin. I'm not looking at analysis. I'm looking at the numbers they produce. Over the past week, as things have opened up, we're not seeing drastic increases in ICU beds. We're seeing the data stay right about where it was in terms of hospital capacity before and after the governor began to open some things up. We're seeing 157 Pima County deaths reported. There was an additional death reported yesterday, Sunday. But here's two or three numbers that shocked me. Here's the shock factor. 60% of Pima County's total virus deaths. So if we're looking at that 157 we have right now, 60% of that number are happening in long-term care facilities. So 60% of that 157 number has come from long-term care facilities right now. As of last week, 84 long-term care residents and one staff member have died from COVID-19. 60% of the county's total virus deaths. Now, I was looking back at my show notes from last week. Last week, less than a week ago, it was 53%. So in less than a period of a week, we're seeing almost a 10% jump in the percentage of the county's total virus deaths that are coming from long-term care facilities, which is tragic. It's tragic, but 60%. Here's the other number that I want to tell you, and this is Arizona-wide now. This is Arizona-wide. That 60% number was county. This is Arizona-wide. The generational difference in who dies from COVID-19 is drastic. 80% of deaths from COVID-19 across the state, we've had, I think, almost 700 deaths. 80% of those cases are happening above the age of 65. 91% of deaths, 91% are happening above the age of 55. Right? These are numbers that I'm not hearing communicated out there. Again, this is azdhs.gov. I spent 20 minutes on the site, right? This is not, you know, I didn't spend the whole weekend on this. I woke up, I looked at azdhs.gov. You can too. That's my point. Go ahead and look. Go ahead and look at it. We are seeing a drastic amount of cases. Okay, that were cases. We're seeing a lot of cases between the ages of 20 and 55. Just a little bit more than the 65 up population. But when it comes to deaths, it's a completely different story. So here's what I'm tracking. I am tracking the number of deaths that we're seeing and how fast that's spiking or not. And I'm tracking what is the generational difference. And I was amazed to put the numbers together and see in the state of Arizona, 91% of the deaths have happened above the age of 55. 9% of deaths have happened 54 and younger. I'm going to pause there and go to our last break. When we come back, I want to tell you what I think we do with that information, right? These are numbers that are just plainly put out there, always changing, always moving, but I was shocked to see those numbers. And when we come back, I'll tell you what I think we should do with those numbers going forward in Tucson and Pima County in Arizona. We'll be right back.
The show? Check out the podcast at kvoi.com.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
1030 The Voice. In times of crisis, information is vital.
Newsweek columnist Lee Habib wrote an article, "A one-size-fits-all reopening makes no sense."
Numbers tell a story.
Yes.
How many people are dying per 100,000? The death rate in New York City is 119 per 100,000. Los Angeles, Dallas, and Houston were 6, 3, and 2. That's a risk I can bear.
Trusted local news and talk about coronavirus. 1030 The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. Our Monday show, we often try to make it a get back into the week. What happened over the weekend? What is the week ahead that will be? What is the week that was? The first half of our show was with Supervisor Steve Christies, the District 4 supervisor on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And he called in to share his concerns with the 15 to 17 guidelines that the county turned into temporary health code regulations. Of course, we had some state senators and representatives from Arizona ask the Attorney General to investigate whether that complied with state law. The Attorney General Brnovich picked it up, and the Pima County Board of Supervisors in the county is required to respond by 5 p.m. Tomorrow. So we discussed that. And then we started talking about the numbers I'm seeing that are really shocking to me, and the numbers that we don't often talk about. And I want to reiterate that I'm looking at azdhs.gov, right, Arizona Department of Health Services, and I'm looking at the Daily Star's just inputting of numbers, right? These are not opinion pieces. These are daily updates that reflect numbers we're seeing. And I noted that I woke up to a couple shocking numbers that I hadn't put together before, those being that 60% of the county's total virus deaths, Pima County's total virus deaths, are coming in long-term care facilities. It's tragic. That means that 40% of the 157 Pima County deaths reported so far are coming outside of those facilities. Still tragic, but that's a number to know. As data is filling in, we're seeing a drop in deaths. And I'm arguing we need to be looking at that number at least as much as we're looking at the case number, because testing is messed up for many reasons. And if you missed my talk about why, go back, listen to the podcast. Finally, just to catch you up where I'm going next, we talked about generational differences. 80% of deaths in the state of Arizona are happening to those neighbors of ours who are above 65 years of age. When we look at the 55 plus population, 91% of COVID deaths have happened to individuals 55 and over. I knew I was going to be rushed, and so I asked for John, our magician of a board operator here, to take and note your phone calls down. I did see a question come in about pre-existing conditions. That seems to be the consensus answer that yes, there are pre-existing conditions at work, and that's where a lot of the deaths are coming from. Here's where I'm at on that. What do I think those numbers mean? Number one, we need to protect our elderly populations. If you are listening and you are 55 plus, the likelihood of you being impacted greatly if you get this is high. And so I would urge you, please be careful. More so, I would urge your families to be careful and realize that we need to be taking care of our elderly neighbors and elderly family members. And that certainly applies 65 plus. But if 91% of cases are happening 55 plus, we need to work as a community to make sure that we are being sensitive to the pre-existing conditions, to the challenges that the elderly face from COVID-19. COVID-19 is lethal to the 55 plus population statistically. Still only 600 and some deaths, only 157 in Pima County. Most of those are happening in long-term care facilities, but we need to know the data, and that's what the data is showing. I would also say this, because I've seen this in the news. I think we need to be stating all the numbers in our news media, right? I don't see these numbers out there, and they're important. Just as the number of cases are important, we don't talk about the deaths. We don't talk about how they've remained stable and declining. We don't talk about our hospital capacity. We stick on cases. And when you see the cases increasing, you don't also say that it's because tests are increasing. It's one important number, but it's only one important number. Let's add the other numbers in. I think the message that we can convey out of this at this time, and it might change tomorrow, and I commit to you I'll change with it because I'm data-driven, but the numbers today show that there is an optimistic message to be had. It's a message of caution. It's a message of responsibility, but it's a message that we are coming out of this thing. And it's a message to say that if you are under the age of 55, be responsible, wash your hands, socially distance. But if you're a retail worker, a restaurant worker, the data says that you're going to be okay. And that you should have the confidence, if you so choose, and have the opportunity from your employer to go back to work. I'm seeing a lot of the narrative nationally is, you know, there's these hordes of people shopping and the retail and restaurant workers, are sacrificial lambs. And I'm sensitive to the fact that you ask retail and restaurant workers to mask up and to wear gloves and nobody else does. That's a danger. But the data in Pima County shows that only in Arizona, that only 9% of deaths have occurred under the age of 55. And so the data is there to be encouraging and to be cautious. Why can't we be both? Why can't we be both? I think the message macro we need to be having is we need to be safe and responsible. We need to keep doing the things we've been doing. But the numbers are more encouraging when you look at the whole. So look at the whole and communicate that. I have always said we need to combine public health and economic health. I get accused sometimes from both sides of being more one than the other. It's both. If our economy is going to recover, we need to have consumer confidence. And the news we're being communicated, what is being shared at a public sector level, is not creating the confidence that I believe the data shows in its entirety. And if we are going to continue to not message the data in entirety, if we're going to not talk about the things I've talked about today, we're going to create a citizen and consumer mentality that will not allow us to come out of this safe and sound physically and economically. And we need to encourage our citizenry about that. We need to encourage our retail and restaurant workers, who I think mostly are under 55, and say, we're going to do our best to keep you safe, but be encouraged. The data is on your side. We're not telling retail and restaurant workers that in Pima County. Now, I can't tell you about New York. I can't tell you about anywhere else. I'm saying in Pima County, we need to message confidence and message clarity and message that we're working on solving some of the problems we have with testing supply chains and blah, blah, blah. We need to be communicating the steps that we're taking. I also want to say this. I think that we need to be encouraging people if you're making the decision to get out and about. I'll touch on this more tomorrow because this one's kind of edgy. Encourage wearing masks. And not because of the politicization of it. I know that there's health, discussion on it. But the last thing, if you like having restaurants and retail open right now, the last thing you want to have happen is for people to say, see, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. We got to shut it back down again. So no one is asking you or requiring you to do these things. My recommendation is for the safety of your elderly friends and neighbors, for the confidence in our community, put on a mask. No one's requiring you to do it. It's not a civil liberty at stake. Wear a mask. Create consumer confidence. Make sure we don't get in a situation where someone can say, see, we told you so, let's close it back down again. We're on our way out of this thing. I think the data shows. Not out of the woods, but we're coming out of this thing. Let's focus on the narrative of how we individually and communally make sure that we leave the woods on this. And let's start looking to the future and start the road to rebuild. That's where I'll be going on this show. I wanted to share those numbers with you. We're going to be back tomorrow with more 9 a.m. Hugh Hewitt, famed broadcasters on the show, as well as George Hammond, an economist. We'll be back at 9 tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. See you there.